From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kilohertz and voanews.id. Listener, here's the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia and Papua New Guinea hold the fourth JMC meeting in Jayapura. Indonesia emphasizes important relations with the Pacific, and here's the news in detail, read by Steve. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi on Wednesday chaired the fourth Joint Ministerial Commission or JMC meeting between Indonesia and Papua New Guinea. The bilateral meeting was organized by Papua New Guinea and led by Foreign Minister Justin Tkachenko in Jayapura. The JMC meeting discussed a number of issues of mutual concern to Indonesia and Papua New Guinea. According to Minister Retno, in the field of political and security cooperation, Indonesia welcomed the ratification process of the new defense cooperation agreement by Papua New Guinea and look forward to its implementation in the future. Both countries agreed to encourage broader cooperation in a bid to strengthen connectivity in border areas. Regarding economic cooperation, Indonesia and Papua New Guinea welcomed the value of trade between the two countries, which reached $247.6 million last year. Minister Retno Marsudi also explained that both countries agreed to increase the value of trade by maximizing their potential.
We welcome the growth of our trade volume, which reached $247.6 million last year. We both agreed that this number can be further increased given our vast potential. Thus, Indonesia reiterated our commitment to commence a joint feasibility study on a preferential trade agreement, or PTA, between the two countries. We both also welcome PLN initial installation of the electricity network infrastructure in Wuto, and this is only the first phase of the project.
Moreover, Minister Retno also said Indonesia expressed its commitment to work together with the Pacific countries, including Papua New Guinea, to strengthen development cooperation. She also remarked that development cooperation with Papua New Guinea will be more tailored to the needs of Papua New Guinea. Minister Retno Marsudi explained that this year, Indonesia has prepared four development projects in Papua New Guinea. First, the modernization of Port Moresby Hospital, revitalization of some public infrastructure in Vanimo, scholarship for Papua New Guinea students and civil servants, and mid-career diplomacy training for Papua New Guinea diplomats and other Pacific countries. To further support these projects and cooperation in the future, Minister Retno Marsudi conveyed Indonesia and Papua New Guinea have signed two agreements, namely the Framework Agreement on Development and Technical Cooperation and the Agreement for Training and Capacity Building for Mid-Career Diplomats from Melanesian Countries. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi has explained that Indonesia attaches great importance to good relations with Pacific countries. She said this after chairing the fourth Joint Ministerial Commission or JMC meeting between Indonesia and Papua New Guinea in Jayapura on Wednesday. Minister Retno stated last year, for the first time, Indonesia hosted the high-level conference of islands and small islands countries attended by many Pacific countries. In 2022, Indonesia also hosted the Indonesia-Pacific Forum for Development, which became a forum to develop concrete cooperation with Pacific countries. She added that, during Indonesia's leadership in ASEAN last year, Indonesia also initiated cooperation between the ASEAN Secretariat and the Pacific Islands Forum Secretariat, which received strong support from both ASEAN and Pacific Islands Forum.
Indonesia puts high importance the good relation with the Pacific nation. Last year, Indonesia hosted for the first time a summit of archipelagic and small island states where many Pacific nations attended the summit.
Furthermore, Minister Retno Marsudi also said Indonesian President Joko Widodo also hosted trilateral talks with the Papua New Guinea Prime Minister and Fiji Prime Minister last year on the sidelines of the APEC summit in San Francisco. In addition, she pointed out that strong cooperation was also established between Indonesia and Melanesian countries, or MSG. Indonesia developed strong collaborations, including training programs to support the MSG Roadmap on Fishery Management, UN Peacekeeping Police Training, and diplomatic training for MSG member states. Minister Retno Marsudi conveyed, Indonesia also agreed to work together to maintain peace and stability in the Pacific region by preparing Pacific countries to address common challenges, including related to climate change and fisheries management, and diplomatic training for MSG member countries. Retno Marsudi added, Indonesia also agreed to work together in maintaining peace and stability in the Pacific by preparing Pacific countries to address common challenges, including those related to climate change and fisheries management. According to her, Indonesia is committed to working with the MSG and PIF to strengthen the capacity of both organizations in achieving these goals. The Indonesian Embassy in Suva, Fiji, encourages Fijian civil society to understand and encourage the strengthening of cooperation between Indonesia and Fiji in various fields through the establishment of Fiji-Indonesia Friendship Association, or FIFA. This was stated by Indonesian Ambassador to Fiji, Dupito Simamora, to Voice of Indonesia in an interview via Zoom on Wednesday. Ambassador Simamora revealed the support for the Fijian people for establishment of FIFA as a government-level dialogue partner.
Banyak kepala suku, banyak tokoh politik, bahkan juga beberapa
many tribal chiefs and political figures, even some rectors from universities and big business people in Fiji, have declared themselves joining this association. Thus, we think this is an important capital so that now and in the future, FIFA will become our partner in various efforts that we make at the government level. And of course, later, we hope that FIFA can consolidate the relationship between the two countries, especially after we celebrate June 17th as the 50th anniversary of bilateral relations or diplomacy between Indonesia and Fiji.
Juni sebagai peringatan 50 tahun hubungan bilateral atau diplomasi Indonesia dan Fiji.
Furthermore, Ambassador Simamora explained that FIFA is intended to build trust between Indonesia and Fiji and understanding between the people of the two countries so that they are not easily instigated by NGOs or parties that are less friendly to Indonesia. The Fiji-Indonesia Friendship Association was inaugurated by the President of Fiji on March 23, 2024 in Suva. Bank Syariah Indonesia, or BSI, which currently ranks among the 10 Islamic banks with the largest market capitalization in the world, makes Indonesia's Islamic finance an attractive and potential market for domestic and foreign investors. This was stated by Adi Marwan Azwar Karim, an Islamic finance expert in the Islamic Banking Outlook 2024 session held at Valik Cinema Ashta 8 District, South Jakarta, Wednesday. The activity was attended by dozens of Islamic banking leaders and Islamic finance practitioners in Indonesia.
Yang pertama adalah kita gembira dengan dengan yang ada bahkan sekarang bang.
The first thing is that we are happy with the current developments. Bank Syariah Indonesia, for instance, is in the top 10 largest Islamic banks in the world in terms of market capitalization. This is an encouraging thing and give a signal to the world that Indonesia is an attractive country and has great potential for investment in its Islamic finance.
Sinyal ini harus kita gaungkan.
Furthermore, in his presentation, Adi Mawaran Karim outlined a roadmap for the development of National Islamic Bank through the consolidation of Sharia units per cluster. He also stated the possibility of the birth of two giant Islamic banks of the same class as Bank Syariah Indonesia, which currently has total assets of 348.41 trillion rupiah as of February 2024. The presence of new large Islamic banks will increase the percentage of Indonesia's Islamic banking assets, which currently reaches 7.38% of Indonesia's banking share. Australia announced it will ramp up its extraction and use of gas until 2050 and beyond, despite global calls to phase out fossil fuels. As quoted by BBC.com, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese's government says the move is needed to shore up domestic energy supply while supporting a transition to net zero. But critics argue the move is a rejection of science, pointing to the International Energy Agency call for huge declines in the use of coal, oil and gas to reach climate targets. Australia, one of the world's largest exporters of liquefied natural gas, has also said the policy is based on its commitment to being a reliable trading partner. Released on Thursday, the strategy outlines the government's plans to work with industry and state leaders to increase both the production and exploration of fossil fuel. The government will also continue to support the expansion of the country's existing gas projects, the largest of which are run by Chevron and Woodside Energy Group in Western Australia. Syria's Defense Ministry said Syrian air defenses on Thursday shot down Israeli missiles fired from the Golan Heights toward Damascus outskirts, targeting a building in the countryside. As reported by ArabNews.com, Israel has been carrying out strikes against Iran-linked targets in Syria for years. As reported by ArabNews.com, Israel has been carrying out strikes against Iran-linked targets in Syria for years, but has ramped up such raids since October 7th attack by Palestinian armed group Hamas on Israeli territory. On April the 1st, an Israeli strike targeted the Iranian embassy compound in Damascus, killing a senior commander in Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps, as well as other military officers, triggering Iran's first direct attack onto Israeli territory. Israel has also been trading fire across its northern border with Lebanese armed group Hezbollah. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listener, we begin today in history with the Watergate scandal investigation against President Richard Nixon. The Watergate scandal is a term used to describe a series of political scandals in the United States that resulted in the resignation of President Richard Nixon and led to a horrendous constitutional crisis in the 1970s. It began with the arrest of five men who attempted to break into the Democratic National Committee headquarters at the Watergate complex in Washington to install bugging devices. After an investigation, it turned out that the incidents that occurred during the campaign were carried out by Nixon support groups. Because of this incident, on May 9, 1974, the Judicial Committee of the United States House of Representatives opened a formal investigation into President Richard Nixon. President Nixon later issued a statement and admitted that he was aware of the Watergate cover-up. On August 8, 1974, President Nixon finally resigned. We move to the next event in 2004. When President of Chechnya, Ahmad Kadyrov, was killed by a mine bomb. The President of Chechnya, Ahmad Kadyrov, was killed after a bomb installed in the row of very important person seats he was sitting in exploded while watching a parade commemorating Russia's victory over Nazi Germany in World War II. 30 people were killed in the incident. The leader of the rebel movements of Chechnya, Shamil Basayev, claimed responsibility for Ahmad Kadyrov's death. Ahmad Kadyrov, a former rebel leader who was elected president, was a political figure trusted by Russian President Vladimir Putin to end the war in Chechnya. We end today in history with an event about Sukhoi Superjet 100 plane crash on Mount Salak, Bogor, Indonesia. The Sukhoi Superjet 100 SSJ-100 plane crashed on Mount Salak, Bogor Regency, West Java on 9 May 2012 while conducting a promotional flight for airline staff and media. Based on the time recorded on the flight data recorder at 2:32 p.m. 26 seconds West Indonesia time, the aircraft crashed into the cliff of Mount Salak at an altitude of about 2,000 meters above sea level, or about 6,000 feet. On May 10th, debris of the Sukhoi Superjet 100 was spotted on the cliff of Mount Salak. The accident killed 37 passengers and 8 crews. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Bila kau inginkan aku juga.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the World, on 3325 kHz and voicenews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on Minister Siti Nurbaya highlights the importance of environmental integrity in carbon trade. Indonesian Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya highlighted the importance of environmental integrity in international carbon trade, and Indonesia has regulated the carbon trade to maintain the country's sovereignty and avoid greenwashing. In a statement received in Jakarta on Tuesday, Minister Siti Nurbaya conveyed that an important factor in carbon trade internationally is environmental integrity that must be maintained from the traded carbon value. The environmental integrity value factors are in the process of greenhouse gas emission inventory and measurement, including transparency, accuracy, consistency, comprehensiveness, and comparability. Specifically, the minister mentioned about the discourse in a business forum in Singapore about the regulation of carbon economic value in Indonesia, which, according to her, was disinformation. The environment minister also said that currently the Indonesian government is preparing the policy based on the 1945 constitution and the law, as well as the UN FCCC. According to Minister Siti Nurbaya, such disinformation threatened national sovereignty for measures in forest carbon offset without authority with land management agreement, which will disturb a country's jurisdiction and the potential debauchery against concession licensing granted by state to operators, in this case, business entity or corporate. The environment minister also explained that the regulation in Indonesia, for instance, the Prudential Regulation Number 98/2021 on carbon economic value and its technicalities have been regulated in the implementation regulation with the Environment and Forestry Ministry regulation. In the Presidential Regulation Number 98, carbon trade value procedures have been regulated both for domestic and international trades. These trade schemes include cap and trade, carbon offset, emission trade, result-based payment, and carbon taxation is yet to be regulated in detail. While for carbon offset, emission trade and result-based payment have been regulated and some have been operating and making results. These measures are taken to avoid greenwashing or effort to build an image or a product as if it is sustainable but comes without any real impact for natural preservation. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia Today, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Rasa nyaman yang menawan, ku terhanyut semakin larut, ingin ku jiwa menjadi sebuah irama yang berawan senada. Sadarku
from Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Voice of Indonesia.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Today's Indonesian Wonder, Merti Desa Mbah Bregas Tradition. Listeners, on May 1st to 3rd, 2024, the people of Margoagung Village in Sleman Regency Special Region of Yogyakarta Province gathered to hold the Merti Desa Mbah Bregas Tradition. During his lifetime, Mbah Bregas was known as one of the loyal followers of Sunan Kalijaga, was tasked with spreading the message of Islam in the West Sleman region, especially Margoagung and its surrounding. He is also known for his strong, authoritative, and simple personality. Besides remembering Mbah Bregas, the tradition which is held after the harvest season is also a form of gratitude for the abundant harvest and prayer that future harvests will not be disturbed by any condition. Listeners, Merti Desa Mbah Bregas tradition has been going on for generations since the Majapahit Kingdom era from the 12th to 15th century. The tradition also only take place once a year, specifically Friday Kliwon in May. The Merti Desa Mbah Bregas event include a grand religious lecture, wayang dance, jatilan art performance, holy water collection, grave pilgrimage, grand kenduri, cultural carnival, and traditional ceremonial processions. The main event is the village cleanup and cultural carnival. The village cleaning procession was carried out in several places, such as Banyan Tree, known as Ringin Nginu, as Mbah Bregas' place of meditation. Sendang Planangan, which Mbah Bregas usually used in the past for daily life, Kramat as the meeting location for Mbah Bregas and Sunan Kalijaga, and Mbah Bregas' grave. The Merti Desa Mbah Bregas tradition begins with giving offerings to the Banyan Tree, Sendangan Planangan, and Kramat in the form of tumpeng or cone-shaped rice and traditional snacks. Taking the holy water from seven klenting at Tirto Sapto Mulya Sendangan Planangan, use the water, the Banyan Tree, in the ceremony, symbolizes revitalizing and preserving the surrounding nature and living culture. The ceremony continued with a pilgrimage to the grave of Mbah Bregas. Then it continues with performances of the Chokeka, Karawitan, and Macapatan traditions. At its peaks, a carnival was held with the gunungan or mountain-like food structure. Then a procession of ngalap berkah or seeking blessings was held by fighting over the mountains that had been carried and prayed for. The ceremony ended with reciting the Islamic holy book, Al-Quran, and closed with a night-long shadow puppet performance. The shadow puppet performance symbolizes honor for Sunan Kalijaga by taking Islamic-based plays such as Jimat Kalimasada, Dewa Ruchi, and Petro Jadi Rat. And that was Indonesian Wonder.
Tumbuh berbunga harum dan berbunga. Aku merangkai banyak hal dari setetes racun seperti butiran embun di permukaan daun. Menceritakan banyak hal dari ratusan pantun. Membuang pedoman untuk tentukan mana buruk mana santun. Meskipun jatuh dari angkasa, partikel hidrometeor sentuh bumi basahi jiwa. Jadi air ini punya tujuan ketika turun, memberi harapan di setiap tetes mengalun. Ini waktu yang tepat untuk kita bertemu saat air langit menutup jejak rindu. Basah meredam karena kau letupan emosi yang terjebak sejak langit lupa akan bumi saat hujan. Saat hujan, apa kabarmu? Lesu roman bersinar di lidah yang kaku, bahagia mengalir di deras air yang turun, menyamakan air mata yang telah lama mengalir.
Voice of Indonesia.
Dear listeners, welcome back to our program Miscellany for today, May 9th, 2024. Today's miscellany comes with the title Komodo Travel Mart 2024. Listeners, Komodo Travel Mart, a forum that brings together buyers and sellers in the tourism sector for the super priority tourism destinations of Labuan Bajo, will be held on June 6 to 9, 2024 in Labuan Bajo after previously being stopped since 2018. Adiatama Tourism and Creative Economy Senior Administrator of the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, Nianiscaya said this activity will drive the tourism sector and creative economy in Labuan Bajo, Flores, and throughout East Nusa Tenggara in general. Meanwhile, Acting President Director of the Labuan Bajo Flores Authority, Francisco Severius Teguh, said this activity was a collaborative idea from all tourism and creative economy stakeholders in Labuan Bajo and East Nusa Tenggara as a whole. Committee Chairman of Komodo Travel Mart 5th, Oyan Christian, said in the last decade, the growth of the tourism sector in Labuan Bajo has exceeded the economic growth in the East Nusa Tenggara province as a whole. Labuan Bajo has also become a new center of economic growth in East Nusa Tenggara region and southern eastern Indonesia in general. He hopes that this activity will be able to expand the tourist market coming to Labuan Bajo. Komodo Travel Mart 2024 is planned to be attended by 150 buyers from various countries, which are tourist markets to Labuan Bajo, starting from Singapore, Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia, Australia, and others. Meanwhile, there will be 100 tour operators from various regions in East Nusa Tenggara. Approximately 100 sellers will attend the tabletop meeting and business forum and will also endorse various creative economy products. That miscellany for today, and bye-bye.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, you are going to listen to a song by Jingga. Jingga is a duo group founded in 1995 with Faye Utomo with vocal and Terry Muli with keyboard. Jingga debut with the album Tentang Aku or About Me, released in 1995. This was their first and final album because Jingga was disbanded in 1997. All of the song is the album were created by Terry, except for the song Terakhir or The Last, which was created by Terry along with Budi Widun and Faye, and then Hijau or And Green by Terry along with Hendra and Budi Gaban. The hits in their album was Tentang Aku. The song was in Rolling Stone Indonesia's 150 Best Songs in Indonesia. Unsurprisingly, the song was performed and rearranged by other musicians like Andin, Ape on the Roof, Nubika, and Faye Utomo herself. Faye recorded and released the song again in 2018 as a soundtrack for Aruna dan Lidahnya. Well, here's the Tentang Aku by Jingga. Enjoy listening!
Voice of Indonesia.
Sudah di kepala dua, harus mulai dari mana? Ambisiku berkecolak, antusias tak karuan. Banyak mimpi-mimpi yang kan ku kejar. Lika-liku perjalanan, ku terjebak sendirian. Tumbuh dari kebaikan, bangkit dari kesalahan. Berusaha pendamkan kenyataan bahwa takut tambah dewasa, takut aku kecewa, takut tak seindah. Sekuat yang ku kira, aku tetap bernafas. meski sering tercakap, aku tetap bernafas, meski aku tak merasa bebas.
Listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at VOI Indonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.